This time on the Reloop Brief, we're heading to Australia for a quick download with Reloop's director for the Pacific, Robert Kelman. Shraddha Kumar catches up with Rob to talk about the wave of container deposit expansions, with many states moving to include wine and spirit bottles, and what that means for curbside systems and costs. We'll also hear about Tasmania's initial months with the deposit system, including consumer engagement, refund values, and network convenience. And finally, we'll take a closer look at single-use plastics policy, including South Australia's decision to retire the tiny soy sauce fish bottle, the kind that you may get with sushi, and why Australia still needs a robust national extended producer responsibility framework for packaging.
We're here to discuss a few recent developments from Australia. Getting right into it, New South Wales. They're expanding their return and earn program scope by adding wine and spirit bottles to it.
Yeah. Also, South Australia and WA going to add additional eligible containers to their list in their container deposit schemes as well, which will include glass, wine and spirits.
My first question, I guess, is how much of a difference is this going to make, and what are some practical issues that are supposed to be resolved before we get to the implementation phase, which is going to be 2027?
So it's a bit of an avalanche here of scheme expansion when it comes to eligibility, and that means that Tasmania and Victoria are the only states that haven't said that they will expand to include those packaging types. So yeah, a bit of movement there. It's taken some time to get there because people might recall that Queensland have introduced wine and spirits into their scheme. So look, we continue to see a sort of fairly fractured reform going on in Australia. But yeah, nevertheless, it's good to get that material into the scheme. It's good to get that material out as much as possible from the curbside bin, because as many people listening will know, glass is really problematic in the curbside recycling collection scheme because it breaks, it damages conveyor belts within the material recovery facilities. You know, often because it's broken, it can't then be recycled. So yeah, good progress on that front.
What are the stakeholder groups who are basically the proponents for having the scope expansion, and aside from perhaps the alcoholic beverages industry?
Yeah, certainly Reloop, along with our sort of other NGO partners. Interestingly, yeah, within the beverage industry, there was a sort of call for equity. So getting that other material in was obviously supported by some of the big beverage manufacturers that are already included in the schemes. You know, there was backing from local government for sure, because local government picks up the costs of curbside collection, recycling and municipal waste, of course, as well. Yeah, so because there are cost savings from having that material included for ratepayers and for local councils. So that was another constituency that was definitely in favour of that.
And on a side note, Reloop is going to be releasing very soon a fact sheet on economic benefits to municipalities. And a big part of that were a couple of studies from Australia that showed how several different kinds of revenue can be gained and or saved when such a scope expansion has occurred. So I'm going to shamelessly plug that in.
Good one.
But also, you mentioned Tasmania, and Tasmania has been the most recent. They were the last to join, and it's a whole continent now that has some form or other of deposit return. They've only begun their scheme this May, and already they've recorded roughly 30 million containers from the system. What can we take away from this about how people are engaging with these systems?
Yeah, there's always a thrust at the beginning, and there is good engagement in Tasmania. The network is still banding. I mean, there's only 550,000 people in the state, so it's a fairly small population. And so those numbers are good, and I know the scheme coordinator is happy, you know, with those numbers. You have led me to the question of consumer engagement, which is a bit of a challenge because we have such a low refund value and we have sort of scheme designs that are suboptimal, that don't really allow for maximizing mm-hmm. consumer convenience of the network. You know, we don't have those retail return obligations, which we see in Europe really crucial to high levels of consumer engagement, along with the a really meaningful refund values or deposit values. So that is, beyond scope, a really strong agenda push from reprocessors, from local councils, from community sector organizations, from charities, from NGOs, from ReLoop, et cetera, in Australia, is to get a more meaningful refund value. So that's the next step. We're not going to see that immediately in Tassie because the scheme has only just started here. But look, we are proceeding with those sort of conversations that, with ministers and governments and policymakers, because we are seeing a drop off in engagement. The most recent report out of Victoria is that there's a real stagnation of consumer engagement in the scheme. And we don't have many tools, we don't have many levers to get that engagement up. And a higher refund value is an obvious one and a really good one. And we'll keep pushing for that.
Now, on a separate and rather peculiar note, South Australia has recently decided to ban a particular type of single-use plastic. It's a condiment packet in the shape of a fish, which I find adorable and amusing, but it's created quite the havoc in the environment. And so I just wanted to ask you about how successful do you think single-use plastic bans in general are in the context of this particular kind in South Australia? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a little soya sauce container in the shape of a fish, and for sushi, usually it comes with that. Yeah, I guess it's a little iconic. But I think what it goes to is that in Australia, while there's been some talk of having, really meaningful packaging recovery scheme and some sort of EPR scheme for packaging, we are still pushing to get to the sort of regulatory consideration, design consideration phase. So we continue to see sort of voluntary mechanisms come up. Like recently, there's a soft plastic scheme that's come up, which I think is really not going to work. It's very low levels of funds for material put on market. We need much higher fees to drive high levels of collection, high levels of reprocessing. And then the end point of that, which is that we need fees that will allow for recovered materials to compete with virgin materials. So my point of that is that small unilateral state actions on single-use plastics has been the norm, and indeed coming down to a local council level. Even local councils have had to sort of try and leapfrog where the states are at, let alone the federal government. And the federal government remains pretty moribund when it comes to dealing with packaging and getting a proper packaging regulatory scheme in place. So, again, that's something that we're working on, and we're building some coalitions around here. Yeah, in the absence of that, I guess we'll continue to see these sort of smaller scale actions.
Robert Kelman speaking to Shraddha Kumar. Remember, if you want to find out more about the ReLoop Brief and listen to previous episodes, check out reloopplatform.org.